Welcome to the Risk and Repeat podcast, episode number 159. I'm Rob Wright, security news director at TechTarget, and I am here with security news writer Alex Khalafi. Alex, welcome back.
Thank you, Rob. Always a pleasure to be back in my own personal Chernobyl.
Yeah.
Let me just say, because it's been kind of hot lately.
It has. I pity you, but yeah, at least we're not exchanging droplets and germs in the confines of our comfy podcast studio in Newton. We are still obviously doing this virtually. We are in the however many weeks and months now of the social distance podcasting experience. I should note we are recording this on Thursday, July 16th. Mm-hmm. And that's important because we have a pretty big news story to discuss. One can debate how, I guess, relevant this is ultimately going to be for an enterprise security audience. Although at first glance, it looked like it had nothing to do with it. And then we quickly realized, you know, this is worse than maybe we first thought. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about the Twitter hack, the great Twitter hack of, I guess, 2020 that took place yesterday. And I'll just recap really briefly. Yesterday, late afternoon, almost 5 o'clock East Coast time, I and other people noticed on Twitter, because I'm attached to my Twitter feed, that some high-profile Twitter accounts had started tweeting some very odd, scammy-looking Bitcoin offers. And the first one I noticed was Elon Musk's. There was a tweet that said, and I'll quote, "You know I living giving back to my community." There's your first mistake right there. That this is I'm sure it was supposed to be "I love giving back to the community." It was "living giving back to the community." "I'm doubling all Bitcoin payments sent to my address. You send 1,000 and I will send you 2,000 back. Bitcoin address, colon," and then there's the address. "Tell your family and friends, only going on for 30 minutes. And as we came to learn, this happened to many other Twitter accounts, a number of them. And that group included Bill Gates, Joe Biden, Barack Obama, corporate accounts for Uber, Apple. I think Jeff Bezos. Yep, yeah. Was also involved. And several Twitter accounts for, I believe, some major cryptocurrency platforms. Although I say major, but I'm not in the Bitcoin game or cryptocurrency game, so I don't know how big, you know, like Coinbase or Gemini or Binance and others are. But regardless, it was a sort of a coordinated onslaught of account compromises and then sort of not simultaneously, but around the same time, tweets involving these sort of shady Bitcoin offers. And you know, I don't know, nobody sort of knows the exact amount or figure yet, but apparently a not insignificant number of people fell for this, and there was some Bitcoin that exchanged hands, who knows how much, but some people, I guess, did take the bait. Alex, my question to you, I heard about this yesterday, I was up, I was spending an inordinate amount of time following this last night. When did you first hear about this, you know, sort of unfolding?
So I'm glad you asked, because my story was a little embarrassing, I would say. No, it's certainly safe for work, but a little embarrassing.
Sure.
I had gotten email pitches from PR people that says Twitter hack, comment available, and stuff like that.
we got a lot of them. Yeah.
Quote available for Twitter hack. And I'm like, oh, what's this little hack that happened this time? And yep. I didn't pay that much mind, because because of the style of hack that, like, it's looked like from my decent look, I was like, this isn't exactly our audience. This isn't. And if I needed to know about it, like, if it was desperate information, I would have found out about it already.
Yeah.
But I thought it was just like some little thing that PR people were sending their little pitches on.
Yeah.
And then I signed on Twitter a couple hours later, and it's like everything's on fire.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was weird. I mean, I remember distinctly when the InfoSec folks that I follow pretty closely, as soon as that first, you know, tweet popped up, and I think it was Musk. I'd have to go back and look at all of the accounts and the timestamps, but that was the one that people first sort of clued in on in my feed, the folks that I follow. And we probably follow a lot of the same InfoSec experts out there in the in the community. They sort of immediately thought, well, this doesn't look good. This, you know, now there's reports coming in of other people, you know, of similar things happening on other accounts. And this isn't just a somebody fished Elon Musk and, you know, got a hold of his account credentials. And lo and behold, last night, Twitter chimed in and sort of updated folks on the situation, and they confirmed that there was a security incident, and they sort of outlined what was going on, the steps that they were taking. The long and short of it, though, is that they said, and I'll quote, "We detected what we believe to be a coordinated social engineering attack by people who successfully targeted some of our employees with access to internal systems and tools." So it was, they didn't say phishing, but it likely was a phishing attack. It just wasn't against the end users, the account holders. It was against Twitter employees, specific Twitter employees that had access to these, you know, these tools and platforms. And I encourage people to read this story and read the coverage from Motherboard. Joseph Cox wrote a couple of stories about hackers who claim that they basically paid or bribed somebody on the inside to give them access to these tools. Now, we don't, that's not confirmed. This is all secondhand from the sources that Motherboard and Joseph Cox talked to. And Cox is a great reporter, and he has very strong contacts in that community, in the cybercrime side of InfoSec. But the evidence does look significant that something of that nature took place. Regardless, somebody got inside with these internal tools and systems and started doing account compromises. And it looks like they changed the email addresses on these accounts. Alex, when you put it, saw that the story was blowing up and everything was on fire, was it last night when you felt like this was, oh man, this is more than just sort of a phishing scheme?
Yeah, it was, there were a couple moments. I think it was interesting to, I think when I found out that it was Barack Obama's account, and it was not just Elon Musk, but people who you would expect would have that extra level of protection, that they got compromised too. And speaking of which, the president's account didn't get compromised because apparently word is that there's extra sort of protections in place that prevented that from happening. But I think last night when I saw that Barack Obama's account was compromised, and then this morning when we were talking about it and like you were breaking it down, for our team, you brought in your insight, and that's when it was like, okay, now it's actually an even bigger deal than I thought it was. Like, I thought it was just a big social media deal, but then like after you were talking about it, it's like, no, this affects us too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so let me ask you, you know, this is sort of the great debate. You know, I mentioned the scope and the discussion about what is ultimately going on with this attack, this widespread attack, this very embarrassing attack. And I'm sure some people did get scammed and maybe gave their Bitcoin over to, you know, fake Elon and or whoever. As you know, the same thing happened on other accounts. Like Joe Biden was like, I want to give back to the community. I want, you know, send me your Bitcoin and I don't know how somebody could fall for that with Joe Biden or Barack Obama, but regardless, or any of the corporate accounts, I think I find it a little bit sort of more feasible for Musk and maybe some others, but regardless, some people did fall for it. It's embarrassing for Twitter, but there's a lot of speculation that this seems kind of, you know, it might not be the whole story about what's going on. There's been discussion about amongst people on InfoSec Twitter about, well, maybe the attackers were after confidential information in the direct messages, the DMs of these account holders. And if they switched the email addresses and gained control of the Twitter accounts, then they would have had access to those DMs and could have potentially, you know, they could bribe people, they could blackmail people, over embarrassing or incriminating information. Who knows? I don't know what Apple or Uber or other organizations like that would be DMing that would be incriminating. So I'm sort of at a loss there. But like when we started talking about this and when you started hearing about sort of, you know, oh, it was a Bitcoin scheme, what was your reaction? Did you feel like, well, that's silly? Or maybe on the other hand, that makes perfect sense because, you know, we've covered a lot of things that have involved cryptocurrency schemes recently since you've been on the team.
Yeah. I think since I became more interested in security, just on a personal level, not just for my job, but on a personal level, there was a small part of me that's like, I hope no one got scammed. And in a world where no one got scammed, this is pretty crazy in an almost cool way. But then I just had to sort of pull myself back and be like, no, people probably got scammed. This isn't cool at all. But I don't know. It's amazing. What happened was amazing. And I think the ramifications of what could happen, like we were talking about this morning, like, I thought that there was no way that any of these people had DMs that could be incriminating, and you argued that there were certain people that did.
Yes.
And now I'm actually coming around to your line of thinking, because, like, okay, Uber probably doesn't have anything on their corporate accounts because those are probably being watched by too many different parties, and there would be, like, a company-wide conspiracy if there was anything on there. Barack Obama, probably not. Joe Biden, that would be crazy if there was something, but still probably not.
Yep.
But Elon Musk is a guy. Like he's,
yeah,
he's a billionaire, and he's one of the most important people in this world by many estimations, but like, he's also just a guy.
Yep.
And there's a non-zero chance that he has something going on. I'm not saying he does, but it's non-zero.
Yeah, it's not. It's, you can't rule it out. So when I first started seeing the chatter about this, about, hey, this can't, there's no way that this is the, you know, the sort of the ultimate goal of whoever did this. You don't just sort of waltz into Twitter, you know, this huge social media organization, and just sort of, you know, you get access to their internal tools and platforms, and you do what with it? You're like, LOL, you know, send me Bitcoin. No. And I have to tell you, like, there's a part of me that is that feels that way. But over, I don't know, the last 2 or 3 years, especially, I got to tell you, I've kind of come around. I just feel like we have covered so many cases. We, and I'm sort of the royal we, Because I know that, you know, Alex, not quite a year here, but other people on the in the security media group, the security staff, the news team, we've covered stuff like this for many years now, where the technical nature of what is being done is truly impressive. I hate using the word sophisticated, but it's like, wow, that's a really great idea, whoever came up with this hack. Or good for these guys, you know, not really. But hey, this is pretty enterprising on behalf of the threat actor that devised this approach or came up with this exploit or did this. And then they go and do something, and they launch like a noisy crypto miner or come up with a crypto jacking scheme. I mean, and back then it made no sense. Like, I'll give you a prime example. So In 2018, a bunch of companies were breached by some threat actors that figured out that they could gain access to the AWS environments of some organizations through their exposed Kubernetes consoles. So a bunch of people, Kubernetes at the time was really blowing up, and all these people were embracing these Kubernetes, you know, management consoles. And for whatever reason, they didn't password protect them, or they were exposed, or they just were generally insecure. And these threat actors said, wow, you know, we can just take advantage of this and get into these AWS environments. And they did. And they what did they use that access for? They used it to launch crypto miners. They made like crypto mining pools within these AWS servers, which are very powerful. And if you want to do crypto mining and make a little money, great, but they're also very noisy, and they're not, they take up a lot of power, and they're not, you know, they're not that hard to detect. They used all this access and they just blew it on a crypto scheme. And there's just been examples of that time and again over the last few years. And I think that, like, I think in general, it's a mistake to sort of say, well, because of the technical nature of a hack, or the way something is executed, that, you know, that automatically means that the hackers or the threat actors in question have an equally sound plan or well thought out goal or end game. And they just don't. Like, a lot of times they they're smart technically, and they're very, very dumb when it comes to sort of common sense and actual, like, criminal schemes. Like, it just baffles me. It blows my mind. So for me personally, I do think I'm with you. I think there's a non-zero, a probably not insignificant number chance that, you know, maybe the ultimate goal was these guys getting a hold of confidential information, maybe confidential information within Twitter, maybe just within these accounts. Who knows? And we still don't know how many were affected. There could be a lot. What did Twitter? I think Twitter said that they shut down or they took control of, I think, all verified accounts, or limited the functionality. And because they were concerned, right, about, you know, this being more widespread beyond just the number of accounts that tweeted some of those Bitcoin scams out, right? So there could be more, that, you know, but at the same time, I look at this and go, well, this is exactly the kind of scheme that some technically smart, but maybe not common sense smart person would do. They would know that there's like an internal system that you could use at Twitter to get around some of this stuff and gain access to some accounts, but they wouldn't put the forethought into figuring out, like, number one, how to remain hidden, number two, maximizing that access, and number three, covering their tracks. They're talking to Motherboard? Like, they're talking to the press? I mean, just it, like, why? I don't get it. I don't get it. It baffles me. So
I was curious about something, so I started looking at the Twitter follower counts while you were talking on some of the people who were sort of hit by this, Like Joe Biden, 6.9 million. Okay, Uber, 1 million. And then some others like that. But Barack Obama has 120 million followers, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And you look at the fact that he has 120 million followers. Let's say 0.001% of people donated Bitcoin.
Yeah.
That would still be a significant amount of money, right?
Yeah. You're right. No, it could be as simple as that. Clearly Twitter is concerned about this. There's chatter amongst InfoSec Twitter about how researchers are having trouble tweeting about like hash files and because they're concerned about people putting like these Bitcoin addresses out and I guess maybe similar schemes, and they haven't ruled that out. But it could just be as simple as like these guys just sort of sent some phishing emails, got lucky with some people at Twitter, were able to get control or through that access, or maybe bribe somebody at Twitter, got into the platform and said, well, we can't think of anything better to do with it, so I guess we'll just, tweet out some nonsense about Bitcoin offers, hurry up, one-time offer, 30 minutes, because they knew probably within a very short amount of time this was going to get shut down. And, maybe they made a little money out of it. And that's it. I mean, it's stunning. It is stunning to me. But I shouldn't be stunned because, like I said, it keeps happening again and again and again. So what are you going to do? I guess before we wrap up here, Alex, I mean, what do you think the takeaway for Twitter is here as an organization?
My sort of key takeaway is that they need to do a better job of making their verified system mean something.
Mm. Yeah, good point.
Right? Because that's actually something we hadn't touched on yet, is the fact that all of these accounts, at least as far as I know, were all verified accounts.
Yep.
Which means that, to me at least, there should be almost a super verified for people with over 1 million followers. Now, it shouldn't be something that's visible. Like, I don't want this to become like an elitism thing. But like, for people over 1 million at least, or maybe everyone who's verified, that would be even better. But people with over 1 million, to give them the same protections that the president has in place.
Yep. And we should note, the New York Times covered this. They mentioned that, there's been serious concern about somebody using the president's account to, to hijack it and to just start tweeting out stuff that, I mean, could be bad. I mentioned this morning the AP news account getting hijacked a couple years back, and somebody tweeting out that a bomb had gone off at the White House. That sent the stock market, what was this, like 5 years ago or something, it sent the stock market into an absolute nosedive. You can do things like that. You can do something more serious. Well, somebody got a hold of Donald Trump's account and said, we're launching nuclear missiles at North Korea. I mean, how many, like, would you bat an eye at that? I mean, I'm sure you would be like, wow, this is heavy, but I don't know that you would immediately rule it out as like a scam or a. So you're right. Like, maybe some extra account protection is needed beyond just sort of two factor. I hope all of these accounts and these individuals, especially, Musk, Bezos and others, had two factor implemented. But it's not going to clearly did not stop the account compromise in this case because of the nature of the hack, because somebody got on hold of this internal system and platform and tool set and was able to get around it. So not good, but you're right. That is a great point. I'll just say, I'll close with, like, you know, if this is somebody falling for a phishing attack or worse, an insider threat, you know, I feel bad for the Twitter enterprise security team because you can do a lot of things right. And I think they have over, you know, the last few years, especially in terms of InfoSec, maybe not, you know, privacy policy and content policy and moderation and all that. But in terms of InfoSec, I think they've really tried to step up their game. And all of that sort of, it doesn't go out the window, but it's all sort of overshadowed when something like this happens. And all it takes is one person to sort of to fall victim to a phishing attack or to decide to go rogue, you know? So, And we'll see what happens. We're going to keep, you know, following this story. We'll see what the full incident report is here from Twitter. I'm sure they're going to have something in the coming days about what happened and provide more details. And I'm sure it'll be sort of a slow rolling type of thing where they do many updates, but so we'll see what happened. We'll see how this took shape and how they're going to try to prevent it again or prevent it from happening again. So Alex, I appreciate you taking the time. I don't think we need to shut down our Twitter accounts, but, you know, keep an eye on yours. I'll keep an eye on mine. You never know. I'll be sure to notify you if I see any weird Bitcoin, like if, you know, strange Bitcoin offers. I'll definitely flag you and notify you.
So. Okay, thank you.
But no, seriously, thanks for chatting about this. I know we've been off for a few weeks, and this was a pretty big bombshell of a story to discuss. So thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Rob. Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
I appreciate it. And thank you to the readers and listeners of Search Security. I'm Rob Wrights, and we will see you next time.